This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. C-Dot back tomorrow. Man, the text line went crazy with the food stuff, man. There's one thing that you all like, and that's food, man. So many different barbecue restaurants on here. Listen, I'm not paid by a single one of them. I guess I need one of the boner ads. Like, everybody here at the station's got them. I do not, which sucks. But certain barbecue restaurants I like. I like Brobeck's. It's a little small place here in Overland Park. I like Barbed Wire Barbecue out in off K-10. Love it. It's good stuff. Great barbecue. But, man, you guys are all over different barbecue restaurants in Kansas City. That's a good thing. Someone's asking me about the Go Chicken Go on Vivian. I didn't know it was open yet. I know they were building one up north for Go Chicken Go. I didn't know it was open yet. And I apologize. I've been to the one in KCK. They got two in KCK, or at least did. And I've been to the Go Chicken Go there. You been to Go Chicken Go yet, Rob?
In my life, I have. I have not.
It's worth it.
I did not know there was one up in North KC. I have been to the one in KCK, or one of the ones in KCK. So, yes, I have. I had Go Chicken Go. I had the gizzards with the, what is it called, Go Sauce? Or
okay.
What,
yeah. It's good stuff. Not going to lie. It is. And everybody's got their favorite barbecue restaurant. I knew this would happen. Everybody's got their favorite spots. That's okay. That's what you do. You like what you like. I get it. But I don't think one is better. And you say, oh, it's better. You get to go this one. Yeah. It depends on the individual taste. But whenever these guys are asked their favorite barbecue restaurant, sometimes it's way too soon to ask them those kind of questions. Let them be here for a while, then ask them. Like you can ask Bobby Witt Jr. that question at this point. He's been here long enough. Vinny, you know, Perez, definitely. He's probably tried everything here. You can ask those questions. Just when they first get here, I think the media needs to back up. Maybe chill a little bit. Have you tried the barbecue yet? It's like asking your favorite fountain. This is the city of fountains. But last night, the national title game went bye-bye. I don't know if you liked watching it. Were you going for the Big 12 in Houston? Such a Big 12 legendary team. Or SEC, were you going for Florida? Getting their third national title last night. It is fitting, I guess, for the best conference in America to win the title. They had 14 teams in March Madness. So it is fitting that they went ahead, I guess, and won the thing, Rob, because they would have been laughed at had they not won it.
I mean, they cashed the ticket. We talked about it on the show.
They cashed.
They had 14 teams, which was the record. I mean,
14.
You need to do something with that other than just, you know, be in the dance. And last night, I don't think the best team in the SEC, but it doesn't matter now. They went out and took care of business. And, yeah, the SEC made good on their 14 teams by winning a national title.
They did. Had a couple of them in the Final Four. That's what you need. I'm okay with the number one seeds going the first time since 2008. I do think it's a sign of the times. I do think with the way things are and the paying of athletes that you're going to see much more of this going forward because, as I said before, you go out and score 20 points a game at Iona, you're going to end up in North Carolina the next year. It's just what's going to happen. You're going to end up in Texas. You're going to end up somewhere else, but you're not going to play for the team. The days of South Dakota State having guys for 4 years or Drake having guys for 3 and 4 years, it's gone. People are going to go and they're going to jump to another team. So it's forever changed the college basketball landscape. I'm not for expanding the tournament, but I do like the four number ones. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's just bad basketball. You get that final minute, the timeouts, the penalties, the reviews. It takes forever, and it's very frustrating at times. I get it. You long for the pitch clock in Major League Baseball when you're watching college basketball at times. It sucks sometimes. The other night, the Saturday night, watching Duke and Houston, I mean, it was brick city the first 5 minutes. Like, no one can hit a shot, and I know, you know, Houston's known for their prowess at shooting three-pointers and their accuracy, but it was brick city. It was tough to watch. And again, I found myself kind of locked in to what the Royals were doing. That's just the way it is. I love the college football playoffs. I'm a football guy. I'll admit that. But, yeah, I watched the tournament. I did. I'm okay with the four number one seeds in there. I like to see the best of the best. But that game left something to be desired. Didn't have a dog in the fight. It just kind of lacked that buzz. And I get it. It was a great game. Houston choked it away. They had a chance to win the first ever title. Hakeem Olajuwon, they kept showing him, by the way. Remember when he wasn't allowed on the court because of that security guard the other day? And I get security being tight. I get, you know, but come on, man. Come on, that was a little ridiculous. But Danny Parkins, former friend of everybody here that worked here on 610, was on a breakfast ball this morning, and he had this to say about the title game being boring.
I hate being that guy. Like, I like celebrating the winner, not just talking about the team that loses. I appreciate sports. I know this is college sports, not professional. Yeah. You guys know we did a whole NFL season together. I loathe refereeing talk. I want to talk about the games decided on the field, or the court in this case. But I really don't think that a two-point game to decide a national championship could have been a worse viewing experience than last night. I thought that was a terrible game, and I thought it was a terrible watch. And I kind of resented that I stayed up for the entire. Seriously, like, the first half of the game, and especially the very beginning, it felt like we might have been in for a classic. Like, the refs had swallowed the whistle.
Yep.
Houston, one of the best offense, or excuse me, Houston, the best defense. Florida, one of the best offenses. Contrasting styles, a couple of one seeds. Let's, like, settle it on the court. And the game started out awesome. There were four fouls
total
in the first half.
Yes.
They were playing basketball. And it's college basketball. They were missing shots. It wasn't the highest level. But that was a basketball game. Look at how this game ended. Like, by the time this game was done, we had had two teams that couldn't crack 40% from the floor, combined to shoot 37%, making less than one out of four threes, 22 turnovers, 26 second half fouls.
Yeah.
So there was no flow to the game. Houston's guys were in foul trouble. Houston had more fouls called on them, but Florida had a technical called on their bench for complaining about it. Like, I didn't tune into a national championship game to watch a ref show.
Danny's 100% right. Became a ref show. I did find the game kind of boring. I know you like your college basketball and stuff, Rob. Obviously, like when the Jayhawks are in it, for sure. But were you enthralled in that game? Was it must-see TV when you got home? Or was watching the Kansas City Royals kind of your priority?
So, the Royals were on TV2 last night. The national title game was on TV1. And Danny's right. The first half, we were in store for a great basketball game.
It looked like it.
The second half was poorly officiated and ruined a good basketball game. But I don't like that. We only do this in college basketball. When the product isn't perfect, when the product isn't, you know, crispy, we go out of our way to be like, well, the product stunk, so, you know, what are you going to do? The officiating wasn't good, and I don't think the second half was great basketball. But it was a great college basketball season. The Final Four lived to the hype of the four number ones. In the best four teams showed up, and we got three competitive, fun basketball games. But that's not the national talking point today with college basketball, because we can never just compliment that sport. We bend over backwards to compliment the NFL, even though their product's slowly getting worse. But college basketball has a bad game, a bad weekend, and people are like, oh, see, the product stinks. I don't know why we do this with college basketball.
Well, more and more basketball, everybody's talking about the NBA. Watch the NBA, but that's got its down moments too, because they do make their shots, which is the big difference in the NBA. But I'm okay with the number one seeds getting there. I think it was fun. I'm okay with that. I want to see the best of the best. It's like what you want to see in college football. You know, get Boise State out of the way in the college football playoffs like you saw Let's get the meat.
We didn't get the best of the best in college football this year.
No, they need to reseed it, is what they need to do. But you got to, well, Ohio State probably not even making the field if it was just four, to be honest with you. They're not making it. But we ended up getting the cream of the cream. The cream did rise to the top in college football. And I enjoyed the college football playoffs. I thought this title game was kind of boring. I'm with Danny there. First half, there's no flow in the second half. You like watching the flow of it. You know, I got to the point, man, let's see what the Royals are doing. Because the Royals were, you know, beating the Twins like you expect. And, okay, I'm more for that. And in this town, you get to choose what you want to watch. Or you can watch two of them, you know, like I did. Or you concentrate on one or the other. You listen to the sound on one or the other. You can't listen to the sound really on both of them. But to me, baseball was more entertaining, to be quite honest with you. Maybe because we're in Kansas City and you're watching the Royals. Maybe that was it. I don't know what it was. Didn't have a dog in the fight in the national title game. Yeah, it would have been nice to see Houston win. Would have been nice for Kelvin Sampson to win. It was a great story back when he played Saturday against Duke. Remember that? You hear that story where Duke flew their team with Schreier when he first took over there to play a scrimmage against Houston? Nobody really knew about it. This is a secret scrimmage with Houston. I think the Cougar football team was playing at that point. They were there playing a scrimmage game, but that was cool. But give me the number one seeds. That was fine. But as far as the product being done, I don't think anybody's crying about it. I think people are ready to move on. People are definitely ready to move on for the NFL draft. I think, as I've said, I think it's a top three sporting event. I think people are dialed into it. I think people are connected to it. Go to NFL.com. Like, every single story is about the NFL draft coming up. Whether you pay attention or not, I think you will be on Thursday night. I think that will be your interest, seeing what the Chiefs are going to do. And Friday night, for the most part, I think it's fun because the board kind of resets itself. But maybe on Saturday, you get the updates here and there. Maybe you're driving around town. Hopefully, listen to 96.5 The Fan. We'll keep you posted on what teams are doing. But you get updates at least. And then you start hitting YouTube and everything else. What are the draft picks doing? Where are they going? What'd they do in college? And everybody's going back and watching basically their highlights, which you have to watch your lowlights as well, to be honest with you. But Mel Kiper, many consider him the Mac Daddy of all mocks. We'll get to that in just a little bit because Mel Kiper put out his mock. And I think a lot of people pay attention to this. He didn't just do round one. He did round two as well. Who does Mel Kiper have the Kansas City Chiefs selecting? We'll tell you that next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know what's better than a limited time?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Deal.
And welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. Can you imagine had the Chiefs drafted Deshaun Watson instead of Mahomes? Can you imagine that? There was plenty of people upset that night they didn't. I remember the text line, Mahomes didn't win much at Texas Tech, and he and Kingsbury, it wasn't his fault. He had to score a touchdown every time he was on the field. But a lot of people didn't want it, but it did change the complexion of what Kansas City is a sports town the minute they drafted Patrick Mahomes. And this year, you got Patrick with the new haircut, it's shorter now. It's business, man. It's the business. Redemption tour for Mahomes. I did mention the draft being a huge sports event. Text line, by the way, they're still going on about the food. Scott's Kitchen is getting a lot of love, and that they should. Scott's Kitchen is awesome, by the way, up in the Northland by the airport. A must stop there. That's great stuff. But they asked me, the 951 asked me, is the draft a sporting event or a news event? No sport is being played. That's 100% true. No sport is being played. But can you tell me, I don't know where you weigh out on this, Rob. I've asked pretty much everybody else at different times doing different shows. Is the draft, in your opinion, a top three sports event in our country?
No.
Really?
What? It's not a top three sport event in April.
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly on that sentiment.
I mean, I guess It's three, I guess, in April.
Okay.
But the Masters is better.
Okay.
And that's in April.
Hey, I love the Masters, and I do. But listen, love the Masters, having a Masters party and everything else. But if people talking Masters back in February, are they talking that? Are they
that's
talking
not
Masters
you, that's
back
not
in
how you judge an
no,
event,
No, I judge what people are talking about.
That's not how you
I
judge
what
an
people
event.
Are talking about. No one is doing a mock draft for the Masters back in January. Oh, is Scheffler going to do it again? I love the Masters, keep in mind, but that is not top of mind in what people think about. It's just not.
It is not a top three event. It's three in April. The Masters is better. The Final Four is better. I bet there are some towns in the country where opening day is better than the draft. Like, have you seen the videos of Cincinnati, how the Reds do opening day with their downtown ballpark? Yeah, that there are a lot of better events than the draft. And I went to the draft in Kansas City. I was excited to go. It's a lot of sitting around and watching people walk on stage and walk off stage.
But you went, and people went. There was over 750,000 people.
It's free.
It is.
You just walk
which,
in.
Which is huge.
The other events.
It's a free event.
The other events are better and cost more. Yes, if you're ranking top free events, it's a very good free event.
But I'm asking you, what are people talking about? Because when the minute your team doesn't make the playoffs, people start talking about the draft. Teams desperate for a quarterback, people pay attention. Or receiver, they pay attention to college football. Oh, man, this guy would look good in a Chiefs uniform or Chargers or Bengals or whoever. People are talking about it. People are filling out their – I've never seen so many mock drafts like we have now. Everybody's got their mock draft. People are talking about it, whether you're at the grocery store or the gas station. What are the Chiefs going to do? What are they going to do for the draft? People pay attention. It's on NFL Network. It's on ESPN. It's on ABC. It's on all these different areas and arenas for you to watch. Rob, people are talking about the draft, man. They are. It's what's consuming sports fans' mind is the draft. More people like the NFL than any other sport. I mean, that's proof's in the pudding there. What, 93 of the top 100 shows watched were NFL games? 15 of those were Kansas City Chiefs? I don't care if you're in Seattle. I don't care if you're in Portland. I don't care if you're in Minneapolis. You know who Mahomes is. You know about your team's draft because you're paying attention to who the team's going to draft because it does change who and what your team is with what you do. Free agency is huge. The NCAA tournament battled this a couple years ago when the opening rounds having to deal with when legal tampering was in the NFL. More people paid attention to that than the NCAA tournament.
I mean, that's like saying the most watched event every night in Kansas City is the news because people are always talking about it. People are always fired up to talk about the news. It doesn't make it an event. It is not a top three event.
We don't have an event podcast. We have character concerns. We do all year. All year. We talk about what? We talk about the NFL draft. Text line says, it's because you're obsessed with football, Bank. Yeah, duh. But Americans obsessed with football. They are. It's become the pastime. It's become what you do on the weekends. You get your family together, your friends. You watch the Chiefs, and I get it. Not everybody around the country has the luxury of their team in the Super Bowl. Like we had to sit there and watch the Patriots for so many years, but you still watched it. You still gathered for it. You still got everybody together for it and watched it, and you complained you had to work the next day. It's what people do. And I don't care what part of the country you're in, you're concerned with what's going to happen in the draft. You're concerned what free agents were picked up by your team, what that's going to do to your team's draft. So, yeah, they talk about it. And the text line now saying, well, you're confusing speculation with excitement. No, it's actually both. The draft changed Kansas City forever. And I'm not talking about the millions of dollars that came flooding into Kansas City when they held the draft. No, I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes. Because that changed who and what you are and what you do on the weekends. It changed who and what you are when it comes to Super Bowl. One little draft pick, a little trade up for the Buffalo Bills to pick number 10, you got Mahomes. And it changed your identity of what this team is. You gladly fly around on airplanes with your Chiefs hat on or whatever because you're from Kansas City and you're damn proud of it because when you go places. But the draft does change things, and people care about it. I mean, I can just go by, you know, personal examples. You know, mom, my aunts, uncles, they care about the Chiefs draft. They're always like, oh, who are they going to draft? Who are they going to get? Even my aunts, they all of a sudden like football because of the Chiefs and what they've done. They watch football and they pay attention to it. They're doing fantasy football. People around the country are playing fantasy football. They know who these players are. Again, Mahomes can't walk anywhere. Bobby Witt, he could walk the streets of L.A. He could walk the streets of San Francisco. Put a hat on, sunglasses, he's fine. Mahomes couldn't. But that's football, and that's our obsession with the sport of football. And, yes, we talk about the draft well before the draft. And you're talking a lot about it now, which direction the Chiefs are going to go. I mean, mocks ever. I get it, the World Series, big event, Masters, all that, Daytona 500, all big events, watch them all, love them. But it's not the draft. It's not what people are talking about at the grocery store. It's not what people are talking about getting gas. They're talking about who your team is going to draft. And does it set you apart? But yes, people talk about the draft, and they talk about Mel Kiper. Because when Mel Kiper puts out his mock, albeit he's not even one of the top mockers, do you know they have a mock draft rating system, Rom, where they look back on who came out with mock drafts and who was the most right or not? Now, you got to be very careful with this because people change like the wind when it comes to mock drafts, and including yours truly, which we have. Because we went defense, and then we went Luther Burden, so we changed
it. I'm not surprised. There's a bracket matrix. I'm sure there's an NFL draft matrix that keeps tabs of who's the best and who's the worst.
Text line says, you get paid to talk about football. That's what matters to you. Says, I love the Chiefs, and I don't give a rat's ass about the draft. I like to see who they take, but the rest doesn't matter. But you watch and see who they take, because that's important to you. I get paid to talk about all of the sports. But obviously, football, it's fine. You can talk football any time of the day in this city, and it's fine. We talk a lot of baseball, talk a lot of college football because they end up being NFL players. Well, Mel Kiper put out his mock, and he has the Chiefs taking what a lot of people do, and that's Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle at Ohio State. Couple things. First of all, every mock loves to pick the Chiefs getting a tackle. It's just like the easy thing to do. And we'll just throw an offensive tackle in for the Chiefs. Forget about the fact they might move to right guard. Forget about the fact they might be moved to right tackle. Forget about the fact they might have been injured and not ready to go. Do you really want a rookie protecting Patrick Mahomes? So in the grand scheme of things, no. And then also, you have to think about, which I see it a lot, evil people in Kansas City, they can't get away from choosing Ohio State players. It's like the in vogue thing. Even Mel Kiper here, Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State. Don't forget, Veach said this a few years ago when he was on with Fesco in the morning. It was Fesco and Kling at the time, and he made these comments about the Big Ten. You can choose who you think that team is, but I'll tell you who that team is.
Well, listen, I mean, so here's the thing. So I can't say, because I don't want to, you know, have my guys barred from ever entering again. I can't say teams, but if you want me, the closest I can give you is just say, just double check those times on those Big Ten schools, all right? Just, that's all I'll say.
Hey, you know what? I ran an under 640. Is that good?
You know, we laugh sometimes. Like, we'll get these guys will run at the combine, and they'll run a, let's just say, a receiver will run like 4.51 at the combine. And then, like, 2 weeks later, same player goes through their pro day, runs like 4.40, and I'm like, okay, they didn't get that much faster in 2 weeks. Like, it's impossible, right? So we always joke, is like, are they running downhill? Is it 39 yards? Like, who's timing these? Because this is like crazy. So at least in the past, you had the combine to kind of, you know, it was a level playing field, and everyone ran on the same surface, and they were the same times and the same timers and all that kind of stuff. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be like some teams will have indoors on a fast track. Some teams, some smaller schools, they'll be outdoors, and it'll be 48 degrees, and the wind will blow in their face, and you'll look at these times and say they stink. But when you take a step back, you're like, wow, this guy ran on grass outdoors. It was 48 degrees, and it was running with the wind in his face. I mean, so, you know, we're going to have to do some historical work in regards to trends and how that all plays out to try to level the playing field as best we can. But it'll certainly be a challenge, and you know, that'll be something we have to work through as we go on here.
So make your best guess on which team from the Big Ten they're referring to. I firmly believe that team is Ohio State. Don't forget they had a pro day and no Chiefs personnel were there. That didn't always mean anything. You can have smoke screens out there, but it is a little bit weird that they don't show up there, isn't it? And other schools in the Big Ten they've drafted. George Karloftis came from the Big Ten. He was at Purdue. I'll never forget his pro day. It's like freezing cold. He didn't have the shirt on. He's out there running, but he's right. Will Campbell, considered one of the best tackles in the draft from LSU, smaller arms, they magically grew an inch at his pro day. Magically. The hand size of Jalen Milroe magically went up on his pro day. That is weird how you're measured at the combine. And all of a sudden, You gain an inch of hands or you gain an inch of arms. Because right now, the big moniker on the tackles in the draft was the fact that short arms. And again, I get it. Jalen Moore is in the middle 33s as far as his arm length. Andy Reid has typically gone 34 and a quarter inch arms for his left tackles. He's very persistent at that. That's why it took Joe Tooney so long for them to move to left tackle, because he has 32 and a quarter inch arms. He's got the arm length that you'd have for guards, and that's what he was. He was a guard, but he was asked to play the tackle position. But Andy Reid likes those long arms, and that's what we're seeing. I get it when they say, well, it's NFL personnel, you know, measuring guys at the pro day. Something's going on, because guys aren't magically getting an inch more of their arms at their pro day than at the combine. And it sucks that the combine has become kind of watered down. It has. I mean, it really has, and it sucks. I mean, it used to be the end-all, be-all for talent evaluation and which direction that you go in the draft, because everybody's at the combine and you look at the scores. But it's become more of a depth thing for the, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounders at the draft, because it can raise your stock profile. But now guys are cherry-picking what they do. You used to be able to go on NFL.com and see 40 time, the broad jump, the vertical, the bench press, everything. But now you'll see like the 40, it may be the vertical, but no broad, because people are only doing what they're good at. And then sometimes at their pro day, they're not doing anything at all as far as talent evaluation. Austin Jeanty, the best running back allegedly in this draft class out of Boise State, he didn't do a damn thing in his pro day. He ran between pylons. No 40, no vertical, no broad. He didn't do anything. You say, well, watch the game tape. Well, we still don't know how fast he is. Because that's a dangerous proposition when you say always go back and look at the game film. It's tough, because I'll give you one example, Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver at Miami that I really like, and for the Chiefs in second or third round, he's the all-time leader of catches and yards at the University of Miami. They've had some good receivers come out of the University of Miami. Do you know when he ran his pro day, Rom? It was like mid 4.7s, 4.8s. Like, he did himself no favors at all. So that's the argument on the other side, because that cost him money. But to be honest with you, I would rather know what that is if you're an NFL team. I don't want to get you and draft you and all of a sudden you being slow. I'd like to know this beforehand. But that cost him money, because Xavier Restrepo was looked upon as a guy that a lot of people liked. And I get that. But I like the guys that go and do things. They do the runs. Let everybody do it, because the pro days are scattered around. Heck, Ohio State had their same pro day the same day LSU did. So now you're splitting your personnel in which direction they go. The Big 12 did their own pro day with all their Big 12 teams, except Colorado, which did Big 12 pro day, but then they had their own pro day this last Friday. Shedeur Sanders threw, but nothing else. Travis Hunter did receiving rounds, but no 40, no vertical, no broad jump, no anything. And Marvin Harrison last year, junior, did nothing, even his pro day, and they say it's because the NFL teams told him not to do it. Whether you want to believe that or not, allegedly, that's what they told him. Hey, don't do it. Let your film speak for itself. But Teterow McMillan is a guy that a lot of people like. I understand that. The size, the frame, people are thinking he's the best receiver in the draft. Well, Steve Smith had his opinions. And Steve Smith, the former NFL wide receiver, he goes to a lot of the pro days. He's been nails. I mean, as far as talent evaluators, when it comes to wide receivers, it's this dude. Because he's done it. And he's admitted, hey, I've taken plays off. I know what these guys are going through. I know what they're doing. You go back and watch T-Mac against Colorado and you don't come away impressed. But the size is something the Chiefs don't have, and I get that. But Luther Burden, another example that I really like. Steve Smith, rather high on him. This is interesting, though. This is what he had to say about Teterow McMillan, which you'll still see mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs at various times. He's the big receiver out of Arizona.
Back. He's the big-bodied receiver out of Arizona, Steve. He is number one on almost
every board.
Is that your number one right now on the Smitty big board? T-Mac, is he? At 6'4", 219 pounds, your number one wide receiver.
He is my number one wide receiver on the board.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I don't necessarily believe that he will be the number one wide receiver taken if some teams move around. If someone moves up and tries to get a quarterback or someone moves up to try to get a tight end, I can see Matthew Golden kind of moving up as the number one guy from Texas. I can see him moving up. T-Mac becomes the number two wide receiver. He will be drafted at number one. But depending on who moves up and who doesn't, he can fall. It will just be because of the team who wasn't expecting to get their guy, got their quarterback, and boom, it just the domino effect.
One question I have with him is obviously the contested catches are something that he's known for. Obviously, we talked about the size at 6'4", almost 220. How do you, when you're looking at film, try to evaluate the contested catches versus collegiate talent versus those will translate to winning contested catches versus NFL talent? How do you go about that when you're breaking this down, Steve? Because that I just wanted to point that out because that is a big part of his game.
That's the only thing a part of his game.
Okay.
Last year when I was watching Jacob Cowing for Arizona, I watched Jacob Cowing and I didn't see T-Mac. I didn't see his presence like I'm seeing it this year. There were times he lacks the focus to be that impact player if he's not the focal point of the offense. So for me, just watching him, good player, not a great player.
Okay.
A lot of room for improvement. I don't think he ran fast. I heard at the combine that he was even thinking, allegedly, thinking about not doing anything. And the reason why is because for him to do something, that he would fall. I don't think he's going to test well. I don't think he's going to test out of the waters. I don't think he's going to run dynamic routes. Now, none of these players are finished products. None of us are finished products until they lay us in the dirt. However, this is an evaluation game, though.
Right now.
And the T-Mac evaluation for me, my humble opinion, is, yeah, he's a number one ranked wide receiver, but he's not the number one wide receiver. I think he leaves a lot of plays on the field.
Okay.
I don't think he has the ability to dominate like his size is. I think he's a jump ball guy, but I don't see his route tree being very elaborate.
So there you go with T-Mac. I know people are enamored with the size, 6'4", 220. Does that change your opinion at all on T-Mac, who most people think is the best receiver in this draft, who, by the way, is falling, but not probably by the people that matter?
I mean, I thought he was the best receiver in the draft. Travis Hunter kind of muddies the water here, so like, let's put him to the side.
And we'll just get to him.
He's a weapon. Let's call Travis Hunter a weapon for a minute. I think McMillan's the best wide receiver in the draft, but Steve Smith has been pretty good about wide receiver. I think he kind of missed on Jerry Jeudy where he had that little beef on the sideline with Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy was good this year for the Browns, but he, generally speaking, has a pretty good feel of wide receiver, and he sees that guy and thinks very mid. I think he has a chance to be a good pro. I don't think he fits in Kansas City because he's that jump ball type. The Chiefs just, they don't target that type for whatever reason. I mean, Hopkins, they kind of did that with, but not even that much. So I like McMillan, but I don't know he fits in Kansas City.
And that's interesting to say that. Same thing with Xavier Restrepo. Would you go? You think Trey Smith is actually a sixth-round pick? No. Matter of fact, where Veach drafts people, that's why he ends up having to pay so many people outrageous sums, because they become a lot better players than where they were drafted, and you get that draft slot. Like Steve Smith, I love his breakdowns of receivers because he played the position. Like, that's important. And it's very important when it comes down to talent evaluation, because he watches the films, watches the breaks. He was a receiver. He knows what it takes to do it. So I think that's very interesting. Good player, not a great player when he's talking about T-Mac, but everybody's going to be blown away at 6'4", 220 pounds, that he can do a lot of things. But yeah, a lot of things. Here's the text line says, you guys are funny. 90% of America has no clue who Mel Kiper is. That's not true.
I mean,
that is not true.
Mel Kiper is not nearly as known as you think Mel Kiper is known.
Mel Kiper is known. Text line.
By sports
fans. You
know
who Mel Kiper is. I mean, people listening to 96.5 The Fan probably know who Mel Kiper is. I'll be honest with you. I think they are.
I mean, that's, yes.
Unless they're tuning in to hear us talk about Bobby Witt.
That's okay.
But they knew who Mel Kiper is. And again, he's not the best, but he puts things out there and people look at it like that's the holy grail of mock drafts. He's been that guy. Duh, duh, duh. Let me tell you about this guy. No, he's been great. But it does change the complexion of what your town is when you make the right draft pick. Do we always hit on them? No. Does Brett Veach and the other GMs hit on them all the time? No. Can you build a roster through the draft? Yes. They've done it. They've completely done it. They've had role players on this team from the draft that they're hardly paying anything. That's why I was shocked when Buffalo did what they did. They had Keon Coleman for 4 years, not five, because they don't get that fifth-year option because they didn't draft him in the first round. And I think that comes back to bite you if you don't, because you don't pay the premium price on players. And I know everybody wants to sign everybody, but that's just not reality. Although the Chiefs are doing it with a lot of their core players, but you can't continually pay everybody. And that's the problem of being good in the draft. That is 100% the problem about being good. But watch a lot of the mocks. A lot of them will go off what Mel Kiper did. But watch the film yourself. Make your own evaluations. Because a guy in the third round may be better than a guy in the first round. You see it all the time. Cooper Kupp was a third-round pick. You think he's a third-round pick? Yeah, he's 31 now. I understand injuries have caught up to him. But the guy's been a damn good player. Guy's a Super Bowl MVP. So, yes, he can play. Is Trey Smith better than a sixth-rounder? Yes. But you got to hit on those guys, man. Not all of them you're going to hit on, but most of them you do, and that's what makes the draft different, and that's what changes the complexion of how you view your team. Coming up next, though, you guys do it every day, don't you? Countdown to the draft. We'll do that with the guy that we didn't talk about, but we need to talk about. We'll do that next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Rob Brennan, Carrington back tomorrow. I hope you know who Mel Kiper is. Mel Kiper is like the draft god, man. He hadn't been as accurate lately. Do you know who was most accurate last year during the draft? Because they track these things, you know, Rob. Mock draft accuracy. You know who was number one last year?
Was it Matt Miller? I'd like to be Matt Miller.
It was not. It was Jason Boris from Times News was one. You know who was two? Peter Schrager from NFL Network, now of ESPN, was number two. Mel Kiper all the way down to number 16. Let me see where Miller was last year. As far as mock draft, he was 81, so it's still top 100. A lot of people do mocks, man. There's a website I like called, NFL Mock Draft Database. It'll show you the latest mocks. Whenever someone puts one out, boom, it's there. You can go on there right now, and they'll put the date on it, which day the mock draft came out, and it's a great way. Like, you go there now, it's Ryan Wilson of CBS has one. In the Huddle has one. SI put out one. Pro Football Network today. College Football Network, you name it. They put out mock drafts. But Mel Kiper's not there. But I think a lot of people do copy off who he picked. Oh, he must have heard something. I get it. People talk about, well, he's friends with the agent. Obviously, he's going to build up certain players. I'm sure that stuff happens. But that's just life. And that's just the way things happen. But it is cool to go by who you think's the best mocker or not. I get it, but Peter Schrager is always there. He always picks the Super Bowl, right? The guy actually, for not being, quote, an insider, is damn good at what he does. But at this draft countdown, where are we going today, Rob?
Let's talk a little, Travis Hunter. I had the wrong Colorado player in mind. A little Travis Hunter because...
Let's go, Travis Hunter.
I think he is the most interesting player in this year's upcoming NFL draft.
Agree.
A, because he got two positions, like... A lot of people view him as the top corner. A lot of people view him as the top receiver. I wonder if an NFL team is going to let him play both. That's first and foremost. And secondarily, how teams view him is fascinating. The Patriots need a weapon. Do they take him? The Browns could be bolstering them. Do they take him? I think Travis Hunter, a Heisman Trophy winner, in a non-surprising way, is the most interesting player in this year's upcoming NFL draft.
But is he the best player in your opinion?
No, I think Abdul Carter's a better player.
Because in my opinion, Travis Hunter is the best player. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. When you watch him play, this separation he creates at wide receiver, he's gotten better and better at being a wide receiver. He was a great defensive back. Going back to Jackson State, back when he spurred Florida State, spurned him. That's a better word for it, spurned him. Florida State and choosing Jackson State, of all places, to play with Deion when he was there. Then he goes to Colorado with him. Outstanding cornerback then. He's gotten better and better at both. Matter of fact, you watch the game field. He's either making a touchdown catch on offense or an interception on defense or causing a fumble. He did that in the UCF game. Got Colorado the win. I mean, the guy just loves football. He's not a guy that goes out and parties. He doesn't do that at all. Matter of fact, Friday and Saturday nights, guy stays in, plays video games, whatever. He loves the game of football. He was the Heisman Trophy winner this year. He won the Walter Camp Award as well. He won the Chuck Bednarik Award as the best defensive player in the country. And the Fred Nablitnikoff Award as the best receiver in the country. There's been great receivers win that award. Like Jamar Chase, he's a Nablitnikoff winner. But he did this, Paul Hornung Award winner, won it twice, unanimous All-American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. The guy does it all. And could I see a scenario where he plays both? Yeah. Keep in mind, he had, what, 386 snaps more than the nearest college football player last year? Like, it was ridiculous, the amount of snaps that he played. And it was impressive. It shows you how much he likes playing football. 382 more snaps than any other player in college football. That's a lot. And would an NFL team like start him on defense then play 15 or 20 plays on offense? Could happen. I think he plays receiver, though. I think more and more times you see him as that separation receiver. Matter of fact, at his pro day, the Colorado pro day, he wasn't playing defense. He was playing offense. And I do believe he's the type of guy if the NFL team said, hey, we need you on offense, it's where we want you to go. And I know there's been some consternation. Should Cleveland draft him at number two? Yes, they should. They're thinking dominance on that defensive line and getting to the quarterback. They just paid Myles Garrett, who wanted to be traded, but then all of a sudden they paid him the bag. And he's like, okay, I'm good with Cleveland. And then you put Abdul Carter on the other side. Most people couldn't even tell you what side of the defensive line Abdul Carter played. They know he's good because they've heard he's good, but did you watch Penn State games thinking to watch Abdul Carter? No, he plays against the left tackle. He primarily plays on the right side. And then Myles Garrett, the other side, so it actually works out well so they can have pass rush kind of there in stereo. That's fine, but they got to be able to catch the football too. And to me, that's Travis Hunter. They got to have an explosive player on offense, return game, you name it, this guy could do it. This guy loves playing the game of football. Again, you have to find guys who love playing the game. He's the best player in this year's draft. I love Cam Ward. I've liked him even back at, well, Incarnate Word, where he was at, then Washington State, and then, of course, transferring to Miami. Love watching Cam Ward play. I think he's definitely the best quarterback. But Travis Hunter's the best football player. He is. And he is now the odds-on favorite to be the number two pick. Mel Kiper had him as the number two pick in his latest mock. More and more people picking Travis Hunter. It's smart for Cleveland to do. I mean, just take the football out of it and just the marketing aspect of it. Like, him marketing is huge. Abdul Carter, he didn't compete at the combine, Rob, because he's got that stress fracture, right? So he didn't do that, didn't do his pro day. Yes, him and Myles Garrett can make a difference on the defensive line, but Travis Hunter is a football player that I think brings in a lot of money. He is the best football player in this year's draft. That's why Cleveland has to pick Travis Hunter.
I think it was Diana Rossini said it on her podcast that the draft will change it too, because the Browns could go in like 700 different directions. I was not literally 700. They can go in any number of directions. They could go Travis Hunter. They could go Abdul Carter. They could trade back. They could take Shador. They could do any number of different things that would help their roster. I think the entire draft happens after Cam Ward gets picked, because what the Browns do will fascinate and I think will send ripple effects through the NFL draft.
Well, Abdul had that shoulder injury at the beginning of the playoffs, still played, actually excelled at it at the NFL Combine. It was a stress reaction in his foot. It was always something different. But Travis Hunter plays. And when you have a guy that played 382 more snaps than any other player in college football, to me, that's a home run. Marketing aspect aside, this guy can play football. Marketing, there's no better marketing guy they can have than Travis Hunter. And that team desperately needs something. They need offense, man. They can be as good as they want on defense. It's got Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett. They still got defensive talent. Need an offensive weapon. Not only that, but the guy can play all over the place. But he'll play where a coach tells him to play. If Stefanski says, hey, we 100% want you at wide receiver, this is where we think you can excel. And he didn't win the Nablitnikoff Award by being a slouch. He won it because he was the best receiver in the country. And watching his film, he just popped, man. There's very few college players just stand out. That dude stood out when he played because he loves the game of football. So at number two, Rob, you're going Abdul Carter. Clearly, I'm going Travis Hunter.
I mean, that's the intrigue. I also think if I'm Travis Hunter, I'm telling people I'm a wide receiver. Because I think Will Johnson's a better corner than him, so I don't know I want to be viewed as a corner in the upcoming draft. But that's,
well, it's also interesting that he just ran routes at this pro day. You take anything from that? It wasn't running routes as a defensive back.
I think he just wanted to work with Shador just because of their relationship for so long.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe the Titans take a stretch on Xavier Restrepo later on in the draft just because he was with Cam Ward at Miami. Maybe that's the direction they go, but 100% if I'm Cleveland sitting here, I'm going Travis Hunter because in the grand scheme of things, in the end, when it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, who's going to be the better football player? I think it's Travis Hunter. I think that's the guy that could be getting the bronze statue in Canton, Ohio, not Abdul Carter, because people are still going to credit Myles Garrett being the best on the defensive line, not Abdul Carter. But Travis Hunter has a chance to change the complexion of the game. He is the most talented player in this year's draft. Coming up next, though, J.J. Piccolo is on with the general manager of the Royals, was on Cody and Gold. MJ Melendez, the interesting story of MJ Melendez. Where do you sit with MJ? We'll discuss that next.